So this is a session for building media workflow using Windows Azure Media Services. My name is Ming Fei, and I work in Redmond as a program manager in Windows Azure Media Services team. So usually I work closely with developer, test, architect in my team to ship the service to you guys. And you can see my email there and my Twitter ID. So both are very effective way of reaching out to me. So if you have any question, feel free to contact me. So today the agenda is pretty straightforward. Firstly, we are going to talk about what is Windows Azure Media Services and also some of the architecture of the service. And the very first service we are going to introduce is Video On Demand Service. I'm going to use some of the SDK to see how could we use SDK to finish a media workflow, like encoding, make it available for streaming. And we are going to look at into a brand new feature we produce, which is dynamic packaging, what that is. And at the second half of the session, we are going to talk about live streaming service, which is something really new that we just went into limited preview. And we will talk about how does that works, how to stream live video in the public cloud. And also, we are going to see a highly dangerous, risky demo at demonstrating live streaming service. Okay? So let's get started. Why are we talking about media at the first place? I believe all of you guys shall agree with me. Video is definitely the most exciting thing on the internet right now. It just, we may not realize, video streaming has been going into our life in the way that we don't realize how fast it progressed. This is a video footage I dig out, embedded on the website 7 years ago. This is one of the conferences Microsoft did at that time. And this is the best resolution of video footage I could find. And let's enjoy this one. It's not an image. It's a
video. Developers, 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 developers.
Even though the resolution is so low, you recognize who that person is, right? You can even close your eye, you know who that person is. And this is a video footage happened last year. And
when you go pick up your 100 gigabyte of SkyDrive storage, which is a little card with a code on it, you'll also have a chance to pick up a Microsoft Surface RT.
And that's also transmitted over the wire, right? Unfortunately, he probably won't be talking about keynote in this year's build, but what a great CEO that we are still having it right now. So besides of the video quality improvement, we also noticed that everyone pretty much can create video now. You can just pull out the phone out of your pocket, you can upload the video to like YouTube, all those kind of websites. And that certainly contributes to the fact that video traffic has gone up to more than 50% of the internet traffic. And predicted by Cisco in the next 3 years, video traffic is going to grow into 90% of the internet traffic. I have no idea who that dude is, but apparently he has more than 1 billion hits on the web. And I believe all of us contribute to that hit. And not only those, short video on YouTube, casual video on YouTube, we start seeing a lot of long-form content hit the web with IT, IP video platforms such as Netflix, Hulu. Now you're starting to watch a lot of TV content on the web as well. And also, that certainly created a lot of problem with content provider, because now your user is no longer only using TV to watch content. They pretty much watch content anywhere, anytime they want, using all type of devices. How do you, try to cope with the change? And that's where we hear from you guys. That's the challenge you're facing. Everyone tries to deliver high quality content anytime, anywhere to their user. However, how do you provision your infrastructure cost to, handle the video peak load, and also What are some of the managing costs? If you provision a machine yourself, you need to hire people to manage those things. And also, you know, if your content goes viral, you wouldn't want to, you know, miss the chance to monetize your content. Are you doing subscription or are you doing, you know, pay-per-click? That's also some of the questions you need to think about. And lastly, digital rights management. There are always people try to steal your content and put up somewhere else. And how do you deal with those situations so your contract with the studio doesn't get jeopardized? Okay, and that's why Windows Azure Media Services is helping you guys to try to, you know, overcome all these challenges and difficulties. Therefore, what is Windows Azure Media Services? Very similar to other Windows Azure services, we build on top of Windows Azure platform. We utilize the platform capabilities such as storing video in the blob storage, you know, using the VM to hosting the video for streaming purpose. And we are a platform as a service. We allow you, developer, to access our platform using REST API and also a bunch of other SDK to build highly customizable media workflow. It's starting from bringing the media into our blob storage, transcode it into certain format you want, putting content protection if necessary, and make it available for streaming. And if you look at the building blocks here, we have the green color features are what have already been released. So we have video on demand service as well as live ingest and live origin service for live streaming. Live encoding feature is on the way, and advertising, analytics, and identity management are further on the roadmap. So that's really the building blocks allows you to build a highly customizable workflow. And we understand business needs, you know, high reliability, high durability, and we build all that into the platform. So you don't need to worry about how do I do scaling and how do I make sure, you know, that the server doesn't run down. We are going, we are doing all those failover control for you. And we always encourage media partner and customer to build on top of our platform, which we call build on media partner and customer. One of the example is Windows Azure Portal. You know, they build on top of us so that customer like you, by clicking a few buttons, you will be able to start an encoding job. And all the streaming bits works with Azure CDN and partner CDN so that you can deliver the content from the edge. And very lastly, we provide a spectrum of client SDK, enable you to build a video application quickly onto all those platforms so that you can, you know, reduce your development costs and you can go to market very fast. That's like the overall picture of Windows Azure Media Services. The next slide is something I always want to highlight is the partner ecosystem, because we always believe that the media space is so broad. There are many partners out there has its own expertise, and we bring them onto our platform. So, for instance, if you look at the encoding section, you always have the choice to use Microsoft first-party encoder in the cloud, but we also bring in partners such as Digital Rapids or Dolby Digital that you can use their media processor as well. And for as a platform, what we provide is a unified API for developer, no matter whose service you want to choose from. And also Windows Azure Store, you can just choose their service on the store. And for management, what we provide is a single billing, regardless, you know, what kind of service you want to provide. And for partners, once you come onto the platform, you can use our infrastructure to run your media processor. And our support line is in front of you whenever the customer has any questions. And you can see that pretty much we have partners on every section of the media workflow. And firstly, I'm going through some of the detail about video on demand service. So usually that's how the flow works, like ingest, encoding, package, encrypt, and deliver. Ingest. Firstly, you would want to bring in the media into our data center so that you can do something with it. We know that being able to ingest a large magazine file is never a trivial job. We are not talking about a web page. We are talking about 10 gigabytes movie file. And that's why we have multiple choices for you guys here. The first one is we pre-encrypt the file before uploading so that we make sure the file's integrity is protected during the transmission. And also we provide secure HTTPS upload that's for free. And also if you want to do something faster, you can choose network level peering for fast HTTP that could go up to several gigabytes per second. And also we onboard a partner called Aspera. You guys heard of Aspera, right? So they're doing pretty well in the file transfer. Oh, someone doesn't know about that. So Aspera is a company that they have their expertise in file transmission over UDP. So they have very reliable algorithm to make sure that the transmission is fast and is reliable. So that's their business value. And we brought them onto the space that you can install an Aspera client and you can have faster UDP file transfer. And also lastly, we enabled multiple storage accounts to manage your video assets. So one particular media services account could link to multiple storage accounts because the cap for storage account is 200 terabytes. Some of our partner may run out of the space if they only have one media, one storage account attached. The second step is to encode package and encrypt the content. So that was when you get the media file into our system and you want to say, hey, can you run some encoding for my media file? And our media server will start running the encoding job for you. And after that's done, we put it back into Azure Blob Storage. However, if you have many media files, you may expecting to queue for the encoding job because some other customers may running the encoding job at the same machine. So what if I want to have my dedicated encoding machine? Is that an option? Definitely. So we provide something we call encoding reserve unit, which you could say I want three encoding reserve units, and you can run three encoding job in parallel on your own box. And some of the company may want to transcode media in a very short period of time. You can just spin off, like, say, 25 machine, and you will be able to do encoding very fast. And in terms of the encoding capability, we have Windows Azure Media Encoder that you can support encoding to H.264, VC1, and also encode audio into all this format here. And also we support package to MP4, smooth streaming, HTTP live streaming, as well as MPEG-DASH. So that's pretty much all the popular adaptive streaming formats out there. And also we support encryption with PlayReady, Common Encryption, and AES. So lastly, as I mentioned, you don't have to choose our first party encoder. You can choose like Digital Rapids or Dolby Digital as other media processor as well. The very last step is simple. Deliver the content, make it available for streaming. So you could certainly ask for origin server, that's like the media server, to make your media available for outside. So similar model here. You could choose to share that origin server with some other customers, but you know their video might go viral that affect your video performance. So here we also have the model called reserve origin server that you can say, I want 200 megabytes guaranteed bandwidth, give me a box for my own video streaming. You will be able to do that. And that's pretty much the whole workflow I just talked about. And you don't have to do the encoding with us. The workflow is really highly customizable. You can say, my encoding job is done. Just let me deliver the video content. You will be able to do so. And in terms of pricing, we have two parts of the pricing. The first one is the encoding service that is charged by usage. It's starting from 1.99 per gigabytes. And it's a tiering price. The more you encode, the cheaper you get. And also for the reserve, the unit I was talking about, is priced at $99 per month per RU, but that's prorated on daily basis. So for one day encoding reserve unit, you only pay for $3 a day. You can do the math yourself. And you can just shut it off after a day. There is no upfront contract for anything. And also for streaming service, similarly, we have shared model and also reserve model, which priced at $199 per month per RU, which also paraded on daily basis. And that's $199 per month. And you can just open it for a day. After your event is over, just turn it off. There is no tear down cost or there's no contract. And one thing I want to highlight is we have SLA guarantee. And our streaming origin server is the only one in the industry that provides SLA in the cloud. So that's 99.9. And also we have 3 months of free trial. That was where you can, you know, sort of try it out and see whether the service works. And now I'm going to show you guys a demo of how Windows Azure Media Services looks like in the portal. Let me just quickly switch to my desktop. This is the portal for Windows Azure Media Services, and it's building on top of our SDK, okay? So the first thing you want to do is to start a media services account, and we can hit on quick create. And Windows Azure Media Services currently available on 6 regions that you can see, and the closest one to New Zealand is Singapore Data Center, which is the Southeast Asia. And you can always attach a storage account to your media services, which to store your media content. We are not going through the account creation. We are just going to use one of the account I pre-created. So right now, I am at the content tab. That's all my media assets in the portal. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload a video into the storage. So I have the video file on my local disk. And I'm going to choose one of the video here and click on OK. So while the video is getting transmitted into the cloud, if we look at the upload tab again, you also offer the option for you to transfer video from another blob storage if you already have the media in the cloud with us. And right now we just send the file that getting into the system. And by clicking on publish button below, you are making the file available for others to access. For now, I only uploaded a MP4 file, but I wanted to do a streaming format. So you can select the file and click on encode here, which you can choose what kind of media format you want the encoder to do. And I'm going to choose playback on iOS device and Mac and PC. That basically allows me to encode this MP4 into smooth streaming and HTTP live streaming. So one of the protocol for Windows device, Xbox, the other one for iOS or Android devices. So if you take a look here, that there are only limited choices here because portal, you know, they only choose a few selection here. But later when we use SDK API, we can actually have more large selections here. Okay, now if I go to the job tab, I should be able to see a job right now running for the encoding job. So you can see that now we have the encoding task started to smooth streaming and also another HLS support task here. So later the progress bar will change once the, you know, the encoding job is running, so you can see how's the progress. And also while waiting, I want to introduce a little bit more about the portal. Firstly, the dashboard that allows you to give a clear view on, you know, how many data have I encoded, how many data that have I streamed out of Windows Azure. And also under the origin tab, that was where you can do the scale of your origin server. So if I click here, I could be able to configure, say, how often I want the cache to be refreshed on my origin server, and also what are some of the streaming allowed IP address. I may want to block some region. I will be able to do that. And also under the scale tab, that was where I could scale up my streaming service. I can say, I want 600 megabytes per second guaranteed bandwidth. Give me that. You can just simply do that in the portal. And lastly is the processors. That's where you control the scaling of your encoding processor. You can say, right now I'm using Windows Azure Media Encoder. Give me more encoding units. right? And then if I click on save right now, I will starting another 25 machine to do the encoding job for me right away. So it's really a powerful scaling capability, and we don't limit it to 25. You can talk to us to request for more. And now I believe our encoding job should be finishing now. It's a pretty small file in the system. So first one, we should be able to see the smooth streaming content coming up. So this is the smooth streaming content I have. And again, I can click on publish button, which allows the media server to grab the content from the blob storage and make it available for streaming. So now what happened is, since this is available, I would be able to just play back in the portal to check my content. That's exactly what my customer will be getting. So let me just quickly switch the audio port so you guys can hear this. Okay. And now the iOS output is out as well. Okay, so let's play back the smooth streaming content for now, since the iOS one is not ready. This is a special video that I chose. I want to choose some video with very minimum movement so that the encoding process could be very fast. Of Nyancat I found out last night. There's another reason why I choose this video in particular. Since Nyancat has launched on the internet 2 years ago, it has been more than 100 million views on the internet for Nyancat. I believe a lot of you guys watch that as well, right? There's actually a website you can open and challenge yourself how long you can watch Nyancat. And if you think that's insane, this 3 minutes video has more than 100 million views. There's another 3 hours version on the internet, has more than 1 million views. So you can see that how video is occupying the internet by the scale it's actually getting into. And now I believe after I finish playing that on the PC, the iOS version is done, and I click on publishing, and I'm going to switch on my iPhone. This is not my iPhone, this is my team iPhone. I use Windows Phone. And I'm going to switch on this this device. And I'm supposed to click on layer first, clear layer. And this is B, right? Okay. And click on cut. I need to press like 4 buttons to get there. I need to clear this. All right, cut. Right, okay, cool. So this is a demo app my developer built to actually query whatever content you have in the portal. And it is going to grab only iOS content onto this display list. And now you can see this Azure demo .sm is coming out. And this is a HLS content that I'm going to play on my team's iPhone. And you can see that it should be getting played fairly soon. It might be a little bit choppy just because of the Wi-Fi that not really working well on my phone. Yeah. So now you can see the text is running again, okay? The music is going to stuck in your mind. Okay, let me switch back to my machine here. All right, so that's what we just watched. Let me switch back to this demo machine here. All right, so that's what we just just a very quick recap. What we did just now is we ingest a video into the cloud, and we run some encoding into smooth streaming and HLS, and we make it available to streaming on the desktop and as well as on iPhone. Very fast, we finish the whole media workflow. And However, you don't have to only do that in Portal because we are developers, right? We want to see APIs, SDK. How can I do that with various SDK? And you can do that through REST API. That's what we provide. But also at the same time, we have .NET library, Java, Node.js, in case you want to develop any other applications. And also there is one special thing here for IT professional. We just had a set of PowerShell commandlets that allows you to manage your media account. You can create, delete, modify the key, you know, and we are adding a bunch of more PowerShell as well. And the next I'm going to show is called dynamic packaging. This is a very new feature, but we are really excited about this feature. This allows you to reuse your encoded content and to bring it to various streaming format without re-encoding it. So what do I mean by that? Firstly, we have to talk about tradition encoding and package, where you have some video source and you encode a file into, say, multi-bitrate MP4. And that's exactly what we did through the portal. We packaged the file into smooth streaming and HLS so that we can deliver through the origin server to Windows client or iOS. However, now if you look at the database icon here, you are storing your video in three copies and they're actually exactly the same. However, by using dynamic packaging, which some of our competitors is also called that transmarxing, that allows you to firstly, you still need to encode your content. That's the step you cannot escape. Say I produce multi-bitrate MP4, and after I do that, I'm pretty much done. I don't have to do packaging. What I need to do is just to pass the different format URL to different device endpoints, and the origin server will package the content on the fly into various adaptive streaming format that you're asking based on single multi-bitrate MP4. You don't have to encode that. Therefore, there are two benefits you are getting here. Firstly, you save on storage costs, which is actually a massive saving because you no longer need to store all those adaptive streaming format assets on your storage. Those things are generated on the fly, and also you save the time on packaging all those content. So that's really significant amount of saving for most of the media libraries because files are just really big for video. And we support import format as MP4 or smooth streaming, and you could dynamically package into smooth streaming, HLS, or MPEG-dash. And lastly, the catch is you will need one reserved streaming unit to be able to perform this function. However, you are saving a lot of effort for packaging and storing content. And now I'm going to show you guys a demo by using .NET SDK. And I'm going to quickly switch to my desktop. Okay. This is the, we are going to create a little console app to do all those things. And we are going to do this six steps. Firstly, connect to media service, upload the video into blob storage, encode video, track coding encoding progress, and we are going to define an output set and then request origin locator for streaming. That's all we are going to do. And usually the first thing is to import reference. And we have NuGet package here, which you can search Windows Azure.media services. And we are going to use extension for Windows Azure Media Services, which is the SDK on top of our Windows Azure Media Services.NET SDK, and this is released by our partner SauceWork. So they have been working with us closely for a lot of functionality, and they decide to provide a lot of higher level APIs, so you don't need to write a lot of code. So I have already installed the NuGet package because it's like several megabytes. I don't want to challenge the internet here. And the first thing we are going to do is to make a connection to media service. I'm going to use some code snippet here. And you can see that it's very straightforward. We use cloud media contacts by passing in account key and account name to make a connection to media services. And this can be found in the portal if I go to dashboard and manage keys. That's where you plug into account name and account key. Very simple. And I'm just going to resolve the namespace. We are using mediaservices.client.dll, okay? And the second step is to upload video. So we are uploading the video from this local folder here. It's an MP4 file, and I'm not putting a storage protection here, but you can choose to put up storage protection. And the next step we are going to do is to encode video by using this input set we are defining here. So this is the code to define an encoding job. That's where you tell our VM what to do, okay? And we are using Windows Azure Media Encoder, first-party encoder, and this is the encoding presents. I'm saying I want adaptive bitrate MP4, and give me 720p. Okay, and where can you find more information about task presents is through MSDN. So if I click on MSDN page here, you will be able to see a lot more choices here. You can say, I want VC1 coding standard, give me that. And you can just specify VC1 broadband 10AOP, and you would be able to encode your video into this standard. Fairly straightforward. And also, you can define the input set, encode that video, and the output set is called multi-bitrate assets. And then I don't want storage encryption. And then I just submit the job. So the VM will pick up the job by running the encoding job. And the next step is we are going to track our encoding job. It's fairly straightforward. Say, you know, how much percentage I have finished for encoding. And printing the job ID. And the next step is after that's done, I'm just going to quickly define an output set. I'm saying, you know, since I'm only running one encoding job, there will be only one output set. I'm saying, give me that as the output set for my, you know, encoded video. And the last step is where we are doing dynamic packaging here. Firstly, I need to create a locator. A locator allows the media server to know where your video file is stored so that it can, based on the local MP4, to dynamic package into different other adaptive streaming formats. And I'm asking for on-demand origin locator. And the access permission is read. I'm only giving a read write for my audience. And also, I can define how long the locator is going to expire. That's actually very important, because if your contract with the studio is 1 year, you wouldn't want to put 2 years out there, because you're going to jeopardize on your contract with them. And then the next step is very straightforward. You just need to get three different URLs so that when you embedded a smooth streaming URL in your smooth streaming application, you will be able to just get a smooth streaming content. The origin server will take care of the packaging for you dynamically. And here we are just going to write some of the, you know, write out all the output so we can try it out. So as simple as that, six steps, we will be able to finish the whole dynamic packaging. Are you guys with me so far? Understand? Okay, good. And now we are going to run the program and see how this is done. I didn't print out the progress for uploading, but you can track that yourself as well. If we look at the portal now, we should be able to see the content getting into the blob storage now. So right now, the demo.mp4 is in the system, and we are going to do a encoding. And then we are just going to grab the URL to dynamic package content out to the application. And while waiting, I just want to quickly go through another concept here. I mentioned that we are going to package the content into MPEDASH. If you don't know what MPEDASH is, probably worth another 2 minutes to understand what that is. There are three vendor-centric adaptive streaming format out there in the industry for years. There are Microsoft Smooth Streaming, HLS, HTTP Live Streaming for Apple, and HTTP Dynamic Streaming for Adobe. Because when adaptive streaming format, the technology is born, there's no standard out there in the industry. So these three vendors jump into the spec definition and they create their own standards. However, the problem is smooth streaming is only favored on a platform like Windows 8, Xbox, Windows Phone. And HLS is only available on iOS devices. It is preferred on that platform. And HDS is only at the beginning preferred at Flash Player. So as content provider, it certainly created a lot of problem because why should I encode my content into so many different formats? And that's why in earlier this year, there is a brand new industry standard just finished called MPEDESH. And this is the very first adaptive streaming standard out there in the industry promoted by Dash Industry Forum. And what clients support Dash now? Firstly, browser, HTML5 player, for instance. W3C just had two important API earlier this year. One is called MSE. A media source extension allows you to playback Dash inside the browser. And another one is called EME, encrypted media extension, allows you to do DRM inside the browser. These two are really, really important that there are two browser out there, IE11 as well as Chrome 23 above, implemented Dash.js player that allows you to see adaptive streaming format with content protection inside the browser without any plugin. So that's really significant for HTML5 video. And also we have Windows 8 that you can build a native application support Dash, and also Flash OSMF plugin for Dash. So that's some of the significance of Dash format. And I guess our encoding and packaging should be done by now so that we can take a look how Dash plays out in browser. Okay, and if I switch back to my application, I should be able to see some of the URL here, and one of them is Dash. So if I would grab the Dash URL here, I click on mark and grab the URL here, click on enter, and I'm going to use a Dash reference player on Chrome. I'm going to demo an IE11 later. That you can see right now, this is a browser-based solution, and there is no plugin. This is pure HTML5. And I will be able to see a... It's adaptive. The quality will ramp up while the internet works. And I would be able to just paste the URL I'm getting there for dynamic packaging. The video file is only MP4 out there, and if I click on load, I should be able to see Dash content gets played in this adaptive player. And this is pure HTML5. How awesome is that? This adaptive streaming player there. And there are a lot more about this player here. You will be able to show a debug information, the video that actually getting into the browser. And this player, Dash.js, is fully open source that everyone can just use. And that's all I wanted to show about video on demand. And we are going to quickly move into live streaming. Layer A, no. All right, let's switch. So live streaming is a very new service that we just hit limited preview that a lot of people can start using it. It allows you to stream live content over the public cloud. And it's truly a best case study for cloud elasticity because a lot of live streaming events are really short, after a few days. So once you're done, you can pretty much shut down the server and you don't have to pay any infrastructure costs upfront. So how does live streaming work? It's actually very simple by using our platform. So firstly, you are going to set up a channel. through API, and you are pushing live stream into the ingest point. That was what we provide to you, is the ingest URL. We are currently accepting smooth streaming. You can push multiple bitrate and smooth streaming to us. And what the ingest module does is to forward all the stream into preview module. And preview module is going to expose a preview URL. That's for internal use that, you know, you can see in the back room that watching what live stream is going into the system. It's for, you know, internal inspection. And also for voiceover, because for a lot of soccer game, it could be the commander that watching the live feed, and they're adding the voiceover commentary. And the audio goes back to ingest point. That's how the audio commentary gets added for live sports. And after preview, however, the data never gets persisted. It's just running through the channel. You are going to set up something called program, which you would be able to archive your data. That all the data bits going to the program module that gets right to the disk. And that's where you can have live DVR window, which means if I set up my live DVR as 1 hour, my user will be able to see the content 1 hour before to the live point. So there's always a 1 hour window that keep moving while your live content goes into the channel. And that's, we also dynamically package your content into HLS, smooth streaming, and Dash, so that people can watch your content on Windows device, and you can, they can do it on iOS device at the same time. That's sort of like an end-to-end workflow I just talked about, that firstly we create a channel. We starting the channel, that's the actual deployment that takes 20 minutes. That's how, you know, how long a VM starts. That's to start to receive your stream. And then you sort of starting to push the data into ingest URL. And then use preview URL for monitoring. And then you want to persist the data by creating a media set. That was where the program starts to writing content into your media assets. And then you start a program. That was where your user would get a DVR window for your content, and the content gets stored in the disk. And lastly, the client can just play the video content. So as simple as that, there are still quite some steps, but simple enough for a live streaming action. And lastly is you can stop the program. That was where your live content will immediately become a video on demand content and stored on the disk. So later, what we are going to do is we are going to have a channel, and we are going to have programs that you could actually run in multiple programs inside a specific channel. I can say I have swimming program from 9 to 11, I have a golf program from 1 to 3, and I have a 24 hours back-to-back archive program. You can let them running at the same time, and the data only writes into the program when you start the program. And once you stop the program, the content is, the data is no longer writing into that program. So after the whole day, you will be able to have a swimming program for only 2 hours and a golf program for another 2 hours, and you can just play back as video on demand. So that's pretty much the concept I'll walk through before I do my demo. And now we are going to switch into the most risky demo that I'm going to show. Okay. And now I am going to open a program here. This is a little program my developer write using Live SDK API. It's the same as what we showed on Vault in terms of syntax. If I zoom in here, for instance, if we want to create a channel, that's the line of code that can be used to create a channel. Say I want to create a channel and the channel size, right? It's very straightforward. I'm not going to go into detail of how to create a channel, create a program. That's all there on MSDN. So I'm just going to start this little program to help me manage my live streaming. So firstly, I would be able to list out some of the channels. So I have four channels running. I have four channels right now. Two of them are running. So I'm just going to grab the first one, the ingest URL, to ingest content. Let me just copy the first one. That's the ingest point. And before starting, I'm going to create a program. Remember what we said, we want to process the data. So I'm going to create one called Lovely Auckland, for instance. Okay, sorry, create Program Express. With some of the parameter I have already defined, I'm saying the DVR window is 2 hours and created that program for me. And you can see that there is a video asset getting created. That was where your video is stored on the disk. Okay, and I'm getting a streaming URL. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a program because we are going to start streaming. Okay, and this program is getting started. And now what I'm going to do is to actually pumping in live feed. I'm going to use an encoding software because we don't have live encoding yet. And I'm going to add a live source. Let's say I'm just going to use the camera on my machine and with an audio device. Okay, probably a better angle for video. Okay. And then you have to choose the output format as IIS Smooth Streaming. That's what format we accept for ingest points. And I'm feeding in 887, 596, and 400 kilobytes. I'm going to delete one of them so that we don't overload the internet. And the output, that was where you define the publishing point. That's the URL I just copied, the ingest URL. And this allows you to push data into the cloud directly. And I'm going to click on connect to test the connectivity, and hopefully we will pass that. All right, it's a green button here, so which means we're ready to go, and let's click on start. So what happened here is it probably will ask me for permission again, click on OK. So the data is actually getting going into my camera, encoded as smooth streaming, and pushing it into the cloud, okay? And I'm going to let you guys help me so that you know that's live streaming. So I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to turn this around. A bit challenging, let me try. All right, so you guys here, all right? So I'm going to ask you, how do you guys feel about keynote this time? You guys can yell, can, you know, boo at the same time, or can wave, okay? How do you like keynote this time, guys? Okay, cool. So now let's see the truth moment that whether this thing works. Oh, did I just prop up my display for my slides? Too excited about the keynotes. All right, so I plug in that again. Our stuff is still running. Cool. So the first thing I'm going to do is to grab the URL here. Okay, this streaming URL. And I'm going to click on, I'm going to open one of the player can play the stream. It's a bit challenging because you may realize the video is going into the same machine while going down, okay? And I paste the URL here and hit on play button. This is the moment. It takes some time because we have a little bit of latency. So usually when you do this, you should actually try firstly the preview URL. Remember, that's where we inspect whether the stream is going in correctly. So I'm going to copy the preview URL here. Okay, and I'm going to pump in here and hit on play. So you can see that this is actually exactly the video streaming going into the system, and you guys are not there yet. And then we are going to copy this streaming URL. Okay, and click on OK. And we are going to put in the program URL, which the data gets preserved with a DVR window. That, let's see whether this thing hasn't gets worked yet. I just started the program. Let me see. That's when you always need to have a backup first to let the stream writing into the storage. I'm pretty confident this would work since the internet isn't a big problem. I'm actually really stressful right now. Just to let you guys know. I'm just going to try this URL again and see whether this works or not. Interesting. Let me just see that the backup channel, whether this one works. Because it actually takes a little bit of time for the data to write into the wire, because I'm going through transcoding until the preview URL, that takes 20 seconds, and probably another 20 seconds until the data gets persisted and then you retrieve it out from the other URL. So that's probably what just happened and incurred some of the delay. And the program, the backup program is starting right now. And you can see the stream is still going in right now. Okay, the program just started, and let's give it a try again and see how this URL works. Okay, and I'm going to give it a try again. Finger crossed. I only failed it once in one of the conferences, but that made up my failure rate to 50%. So we're going to see this time. Yes, it works. Yes. Sorry, I shouldn't be that excited. It doesn't come to me as a surprise. So I believe, see how stressed I were on the stage. I believe we can. I want to back up to where you guys are somewhere. Oh, okay. I wouldn't get that because what was the reason? Because I didn't start this backup program while you guys are yelling and doing all those things, okay? So, but another cool thing I really wanted to show is after stop the program, I could be able to stop the program. That was where I stopped the program. And I'm going to use the same URL. You can see here in my player, it's a live player right now. But if I stop the program, I'm going to paste this in again. Let's just wait for this to finish. Okay, program finished. And I would be able to load this player again. And it will become a Vault content seamlessly. So you can see that there's no go live button here because it's no longer live content. And it has a full length of video that we just archived. Okay? So, and that's where you don't have to change your player and you'll be able to just serve a lot of content, okay? You guys like that? Thank you guys, you guys are very patient. I thought people would just start leaving the room when I, you know, fail my demo. And I'm going to switch back to my slides and finish up. How does this thing work again? Clear layer. Can I get some help? Sorry. Layer, clear layer. Yeah. You can stay here if you want. I'm so stressed out with this. All right, cool. You're amazing, by the way, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah, this is really stressful. That was about the demo. I hope you guys enjoyed it. A little bit technical issue, but we solved it. You know, that's where you always have a backup channel for your live events. And how do I get started with this thing? It's so cool that you still need some cameraman out there to push your media feeds in. Good job there. And you have to run some encoding, hardware encoding or software, because we don't have live encoding for now, but we are working on that to, you know, make it available. And it's a very limited preview right now. We didn't open up to everyone. The reason being, you know, live event is really critical. We just don't want everyone to jump on it and, you know, the whole thing crash. We hope you to communicate with us, email us, tell us when you're going to use it so that we can keep an eye on the service to make sure that until the service gets really, really stable, we can make it available for everyone. And also, we are going to add in real-time monitoring for people like me on the stage to see what's going on out there. And also, you can just use any player that we have to support live streaming. Lastly, I want to leave with you guys some of the information. The best way to learn is to try it out yourself. And also, the best way, if you have any questions, post it on public forum, okay? Tell you guys a little secret. My team is on call on the forum that all the engineering will check the forum and answer questions. So that's definitely the best way to post questions. And also, send me any questions on the email or Twitter ID. And I guess that's the best time to let me shamelessly promote my next session, which is 4:30 later in the same room. I'm going to talk about more about how to build a media application to consume content on Windows 8. And lastly, I'm going to leave with you guys for this slide, okay? So let me tell you a little bit more. Once upon a time, I was pretty naive. That was 1.5 years ago in Build Conference. I showed this slide, and I was very passionate. I was like, let's take down the TV, right? You know, live streaming, video streaming is coming. And after working in the industry for, you know, some time, and I realized, you know, even we are doing video streaming, if you look at what the TV station are doing these days, they are putting a lot of apps for people to watch content through the internet as well. The boundary between TV and real, you know, internet video provider are really getting blurry. If you look at Netflix, they are starting Netflix original TV series called House of Cards, which are getting 7 Grammy Awards this year. That's Netflix content. They're doing content themselves. And that's where really, no matter you are TV station, you try to be cool in the new video streaming wave, or your OTT provider, you are starting the platform yourself. We are always here to help, that hopefully our technology could help you to provide a really smooth video experience to your audience. And with these slides, I end my presentation here, and thank you very much for coming to the session.